Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to come before you today, praising your holy name. Father, may we worship you not only here today, but in all that we do. May the work of our hands, Lord God, bring glory to you and to your name. May your spirit work through us, Father, to help us to see and understand how we can best serve you with our lives, thanking and praising you for what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Good morning, I'm Pastor Dave Ryerson. Welcome this morning to Hope of Free Lutheran Church. Glad to have you here today. And I want you to take a moment, and I'm sure you can all conjure up that image, because it's usually one of those things that gets burned in our mind forever, that worst job that you've ever done. And I don't mean a professional job. Sometimes that can be the case. Maybe it was a task or responsibility, and you're just thinking to yourself, this is awful. One will always come to mind for me. It's probably going to be burned in my mind forever. Fortunately, my family still laughs about it because that's how bad this job was. This worst task that I was ever given, I was about 11 years old, and my dad went on some kind of weird tangent, and I don't really know where it came from. But our house sat significantly lower than the road, and so our driveway was kind of a U-shaped driveway that sloped down into the house. And so because of that, if you ever had a lot of rain, a lot of dirt and stuff would wash down, and where our landscaping rocks were, some dirt would accumulate in that. And for some bizarre reason, my dad was obsessed with the dirt that was collecting in the rocks, and we had to get rid of it. Last time I looked, rocks were meant to be dirty. And so he came up with this concoction, this idea that the rocks had to be cleaned, and so he went and he got a bunch of 2x4s, and he cut them into this big wooden frame, and then he bought some metal mesh, and he nailed that onto this frame, thus creating a giant sieve. Now, the sieve in itself was awfully heavy, and we were supposed to now scoop rocks into that and sift them out. It was honestly one of the worst ideas I've ever heard in my life, and I was 11 and responsible for doing this. So he builds this device, which I can barely lift, and I set it down, and I get a shovel, and I'm actually adding rocks onto it, thus making it virtually impossible to lift, and I'm sifting out dirt. It was probably the worst idea I've ever heard. I did it about 2 or 3 times, and I went inside and said, no, I'm not doing this anymore. So, of course, you know, we have to do the gather the family and the proverbial, if we're going to live under my roof, we all have to work together as a team and pull our own weight. And, you know, we've all heard it a million times. We've all said it a million times if we're parents. And so my dad, in a huff of rage, went outside to show us how it was done. And I think he did it about 2 or 3 times, too, before the absurdity of it all hit him. So I was vindicated because he stopped doing it and we never spoke of rock sifting again. And so that was the worst job that I'll always think of. To this day, he even denies it if we even bring it up. I think he's kind of ashamed at what a horrible idea it was. And so maybe I probably didn't handle that right in my refusal to do such a silly job. But I want to talk today about doing good work. And if any of you guys have seen this, has been going viral this week, you might have caught this picture of Jimmy Cox. Let's see if we got up there. This went viral last week. Jimmy Cox was a utility worker in Texas. A woman had called because she had a broken pipe in her yard and called the utility company up to come fix it, and she looks out her window and sees this. That is dedication and commitment to your job. And the funny thing is, he doesn't get what the attention is. This has garnered international attention. He was talked about in the Chinese press. Inside Edition with Mike Rowe covered him. He's gotten a year's supply of Wrangler clothes out of it because those are Wrangler jeans. And he says, I've done it dozens of times, and all my other coworkers have too, and yet he gets that much attention because of that. I mean, usually if you say, I had to show the picture because I was going to say he was waist deep in water, you would think standing. He's head first waist deep in water. Would you please rise for the reading of God's word, because that's what I want to talk about today. We all have to dive into mud for Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. No, I want to talk about what Peter writes about in 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to talk this morning about work and how our work glorifies God. And before I talk about work, I think it's important that we define work first off anyway. And I think we need to understand the work I'm talking about today is vocation. It's your job. It's what you do at home. It's basically everything that you do that requires effort. This isn't just focused primarily on your profession or your ministry, but everything that you do. And we have to do this first off, I think, shift our focus away from how we understand work. Because most of the time when we hear work, we kind of think, oh, tired. I don't want to work. But work is a good thing. We have to change our perspective of work to recognize that work is a good thing. You see, work became toil and difficult after the fall. In Genesis 3:17, God is saying this to Adam after they had eaten the forbidden fruit. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So you see, labor was a result of the fall. Because in Genesis 2:15, God describes it as this: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." You see, that's before the fall, and as we know, during part of creation, everything that God created was deemed good. And so if he tells Adam, "You are to work the garden," that's good work. That's before the ground was resisting him, before the failures of our labors at times came forth. Work was a good thing. And so oftentimes we're just kind of instructed or run to the mindset to work for the weekend, or work is a necessary evil. And I think the problem is our attitude will start to reflect that then. And people will see that as in us as well, as it's kind of a necessary evil and we have to do what we have to do. But imagine what people are going to see from you if you view work as a good thing. It's that positive attitude kind of thing, because it's going to be different from the rest of the world, which is telling you that work is bad. Now, you can't let work consume your life. We know that. You know, I admire people that have a work ethic, that want to work their way up in a company, or they work hard to achieve something, but you have to make sure that your work does not interfere with your spiritual life. While work is a good thing, if it takes away from your time with God and you're growing closer to God, then work becomes your God. And you have to be careful of that. And you have to be careful that it's more than just your job that can interfere with your spiritual growth. Something that we work at a lot is family. We have to make sure that that doesn't interfere with our spiritual growth. And another thing I learned about in school, and this was really interesting, actually my last year of seminary, we really spent a lot of time with cautions that ministry can really hinder spiritual growth. Because the problem is ministry can become so needy, you end up serving the ministry and you're forgetting that you're supposed to be serving God. So in all that you do, be careful to the fact that you are serving God above all else. That's why God gave us the Sabbath day. He knows that we need rest, and he knows that we need that time to draw closer to him, and that's what that time is for. You need the Sabbath day not only to rest up, to recharge yourself, but you need that time to be in prayer and praise and reading his word. How many times have you prayed to God for something, he doesn't answer right when you think, "God's not listening to my prayers"? Are you listening for his voice? We kind of want immediate answers. God wants us to listen. Use the Sabbath day and any time for rest that you have to actually draw closer to God. That's how you're going to hear him. That's how he will instruct you and to guide you. And as we think about work and how work is supposed to be good, I can't help but think as I read Revelations 22:2-3 that I think we're even going to be working in heaven. "Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. So stop and think about that. If the tree is bearing fruit, is somebody gathering that fruit? They're working. If the ground is no longer a curse, that means it's productive and working productively. And if there's servants then in the kingdom, well, servants are usually working for their master. And so I can't help but think then we're going to be working in heaven, but if heaven is described as a place where no more tears and pain and sorrow, work is a good thing. It's what it's supposed to be. So that's my first point, is I want us to view work in a positive light from now on, to understand that work is a gift from God. Now, there's one thing that we want to be careful of with our work. And we have to understand that the work that we are doing is in all aspects of our life, and it has been gifted to us from God with our talents, and we are to use those talents for him and for his glory. In our gospel reading this morning, I had shared, and Anthony read it for us, and I had chosen the part on the parable of the talents. And those first two servants were great servants because they received what they were given, and they put it to use, and they made more out of it, and their master was pleased. But that last servant hid it because he was afraid of his master, and he was condemned for that. He knew his master was a hard man. It caused a lack of action in him, and he was condemned. And as you learn, as you understand in what's called, you know, biblical exposition, what's around that section? Well, that parable there, and after that parable is followed a parable, really not a parable, it's described as the sheep and the goats, and this is Jesus describing when he comes again, and there will be a point in time when he separates the sheep and the goat. The sheep are those that were obedient and loved and served, and the goats were those that didn't. And so clearly that's pointing to the fact that this guy was condemned for his lack of action, but I would say there's more to it than that even. I think he was condemned because of the fact that he didn't understand who God was. You are a hard master. And so he feared his master, thus it created an alienation between him and his master, and there was no desire to serve, because he didn't understand who his master was. What he viewed as hard, we understand that God is holy and just. So for God to be just means God says, I am holy, you are broken. The only way we can heal our relationship is some sort of atonement for it. But because I love you so much and want you to be with me, there has to be some sort of sacrifice, so I will give you my son. So we understand God's love, and his being just is why he sent his son for us, but you see, this wicked servant didn't understand that. He just thought being just was being hard, and so he didn't do anything about it. The first two servants understood their master is extremely loving. Our God is extremely loving, that because he is just and there is only one way that we can stand before him, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sent his son to die for us. And so out of love then, we want to use the talents that God has given us because we understand he has created good works for us in Christ. That was the problem with that servant. He didn't understand his master's love. He feared him, and not a good fear. So we can't bury the talents that God has given to us because he's given them to us for a specific reason. They've been prepared beforehand for us. We don't serve God out of fear. We serve God out of love. Our praise songs reflected it. Our hymns reflected it this morning. Because we understand that no matter what we do, we cannot regain what was lost in that relationship between God because of our sin. No matter how hard we work, we can never make that good enough. But through Christ, we've been redeemed. And so our work becomes out of joy, not an obligation. Because an obligation alienates us from God, but that joy to serve him for what he's done for us, that comes from our heart. And so our sermon text, which I shared this morning then, it really talks about all that we do for God's glory. I mean, look at the attention that Jimmy Cox got, the guy that was buried headfirst into the water, okay? He got national attention on his work ethic. What kind of impression can we leave on people through our efforts? You know? He just did his normal job, but he did the best of his ability, and people noticed it. Well, if we were made in God's image, what kind of reflection are we portraying to people? If we do the best that we can do, people are seeing that in us. We were instructed to work out of love and not out of grumbling. How many of you like to go ask a favor for the chronic complainer that you know? We just dread that. When you have to go ask that person that complains about everything, nobody wants to go ask that person to do something. Everybody likes to ask the person that willingly does it. That's how we should be seen by people. It is our joy to be able to work and to serve, and the reason for, again, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Is everything you do done with the mindset that you are bringing glory to God and pointing to Jesus Christ? It's a matter of trusting God with what you do, knowing that what you're doing, he is using for his good. It isn't about church work is the only way you can serve God. This is just a means for us who've been called up here. I'm up here because I've been called, but you know what? If you've not been called to serve in a church, God is using what you do always for his glory. Think about it. You could be a car mechanic working on a car. Well, how am I serving God? How do you know what that vehicle is going to be used for? What if that's used for a missionary trip sometime? When you do it to the best of your ability to make sure that it's available to be used for God when he needs it to be used, that's how you're serving. Maybe you have a desk job. If any of us ever had desk jobs, you know what it's like. It can be tedious, monotonous. You don't feel like you're doing anything. You feel like a corporate number or what have you. But you know what? When you do it with a smile, when you do it with joy, when people see your work ethic and how you do everything out of love, you're different than everybody else, and they wonder why. This is how you show Christ through you. People can see God in you through your work ethic because you will do everything to the best of your ability. It was really funny because I was trying to describe that, and this is one of those kind of funny God moments. You laugh and you're like, well, all right, I get that. I was trying to describe, it's like, you know, to emphasize the point why we should do what we do to show the glory of God, and it was funny because I got a text message on Thursday letting me know lunch was ready, and I knew that's what the text was, and I go to open my phone. Rachel sent this text, and my phone did not open up to the text message, which it should have. I don't get it. It opened up. My screen was Hebrews 12:14. I didn't press Hebrews 12:14. Yes, it was the verse of the day on my Bible app, but that was like really small. I have no idea why my phone was open to Hebrews 12:14, which reads this. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness with which out no one will see the Lord. No one will see the holiness of God unless you are shining it through you. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for just putting that verse on my phone right there to help us understand that people will see God's holiness through us and how we conduct ourselves, and trusting that our vocation and all that we do will bring glory to God. Look at Nehemiah when he rebuilt Jerusalem. He would not accept just kind of putting it back together. This is God's glory. We are reflecting God in all that we do. And, I mean, don't worry about it. You're going to make mistakes. It's not that we can't make mistakes. I'm not saying we have to be perfect in what we do. We just strive to do the best that we can do. We're going to do mistakes. I mean, I made a huge blunder yesterday. And actually, I got a text message. A friend of mine, former coworker, she lost her sister to cancer. And I was going to give her a call, and she didn't answer, and not surprising if she just lost her sister. And I'm leaving her a message, and I'm choked up, and I'm telling her I love her, and I'm praying for her, and I end it with, have a great day. It was one of those things where I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I sent her a text message. She laughed, and she said, that's why I love you, because you do stuff like that. I wasn't thinking, you know, so we're going to make mistakes, okay? It's okay to make mistakes. The big key is that we are shining God through us, because that's the one thing about us as believers. We understand that we make mistakes, and we're forgiven through Christ. And so understand that how you serve God is not about what you do. It's understanding that he has put us in charge as caretakers of this world. And so we should take joy in the fact that God has put us in charge to take care of this world. And I'm going to use you in so many different ways. But just do everything that you do to the best of your ability to reflect my glory. And the best way to make sure that we're doing that is just not compartmentalize our faith. That's the mistake I think we can do. I'm going to work today, so I'm in work mode. I'm going to church today, so I'm in Christian mode. You know, we can't do that kind of stuff. Let's make sure our faith is coursing throughout our veins 24/7, 7 days a week. In all that we do, our faith should be just so evident in what we do. We can't compartmentalize it. That's how people see our commitment to the Lord, when everything we do is done through faith. So my point with all of this was, I mean, as we're celebrating Labor Day and the American workforce tomorrow, I just want to encourage you about work, you know? in realizing that all that we do, it is, it's for God's glory, and trusting that he has a purpose for all of it. We reflect God in everything that we do. If you're a parent, raising your kids to be grounded in God's word is your priority. What a calling that is. If you're called to the workforce, be that person that's trustworthy, that people can count on, one that people like to go to, because you're reflecting God that way. And if you're retired, don't look at retirement either as a vacation until you die or that you don't have a purpose or a use anymore. Instead, recognize that every season of our life we have different callings, we have different ways that we can serve, and recognize, and you're going to hear me say this often, I've always believed as long as you're breathing, God has a purpose for you. So make sure that what you're doing, you're serving him with that. It doesn't matter what it is. Just do it to the best of your ability. Because in everything we do, we're reflecting the goodness of God because it's in his image that we're made. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of work and the opportunity to serve you through our works. Father, may you guide the work of our hands always. May you fill our hearts with joy as an opportunity to serve you and to love you and to praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you have done for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. May that drive all of our joy and our delight in knowing we are serving a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name.